Well, my name is Mel. I'm an addict. You almost make me want to tear up a little bit, Jimmy. That's an introduction. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I've loved it for over 51 years, and I'm here to just talk a little bit about my history, but also some of the history that I've had with Narcotics Anonymous. My first sponsor was a guy named Eddie Cochran. I met him in the penitentiary. He carried the message, H and I, and told me this is nothing but a fantastic way to go, just to be clean. There's nothing better than to be clean. But he was laughing and carrying on. I just really believe the guy was smoking weed with Hank Magdaleno as they came out to carry the panel. But I took his phone number. And in those days, you were allowed to give away your phone number. In today's world, in the penitentiary, you're not allowed to give all that stuff away. And he was the first guy I called. First guy I called when I got out. And I said, Eddie, this is Mel. He said, who? I said, Mel. I said, he said, I don't remember. I said, well, you were out at the penitentiary, and you shared and you hit my heart with what you had to say. And I was looking to ask you to be my sponsor. And he says, you know, Mel, out of all the people that I've gone out to see over the 17 years that he's been clean, you're the first guy that's ever called me. So that was pretty cool. And he got me to a meeting, but he didn't get me to an NA meeting, because as Norm said, there was only six meetings or four meetings in the world, but that wasn't true. I found out there was, when I got out, there was only five meetings, but then, again, that wasn't true. There was some that were in Canada, there were some that were out of the States and out of the state, and that's what I learned more recently, that there were a few more meetings, but as far as I knew, there was only five meetings, and I made four of them. It took me about two months to find an NA meeting. When I found one, it was with the mother group, Moore Park and Rhodes, and that's where I saw Jimmy again, and I saw Bob, and I saw Gene, and I saw quite a few people that aren't with us anymore, which is kind of sad, but that's just the way it is. That, you know, we're here, we're born to die. But I learned that Jimmy sponsored my sponsor, Eddie. And Eddie went to the very first NA meeting in 1953. But Eddie just was hooked up with the other program, and it took me a while, like I say, to find a meeting. Once I walked into the rooms and saw addicts talking about recovery, I felt in my heart that this is where I belonged. And I got all excited. I got to the point where I wanted to do something. I wanted to do anything I could. And I did. One of the things I did is on the videos at some of the conventions we have, there's a place in North Hollywood, Radford Street, and that's where Jimmy got the calling to get into NA meetings, because he was going to that AA meeting. And I took a 9-month chip when I got out, and I called Eddie and I said, Eddie, I just took a 9-month chip. And he says, man, you've only been out not even a week. He says, your time starts on the streets. It doesn't start in the penitentiary. And I says, oh, crumb. So with my tail between my legs, I ran back to that place and handed him back my 9-month chip and took a 30-day chip when it was 3 or 4 weeks later, and just started my progression. I listened to my sponsor. I don't know why. I trusted somebody. They said you need to trust your sponsor. So I did. I trusted my sponsor. And there's nothing that I've ever heard from any sponsor I've had, which I've had several, because most of the people I've had died. And it's hard to find somebody that doesn't pass away on you. Nobody wanted to be my sponsor for a while. They said, no, you lose too many people. So I didn't talk about this to my current sponsor, and he heard me share the same thing. And he says, oh, no, do I got the curse of death on me or what? But I just got involved to the point of, we used to have little meetings in Bill Beck's barbershop. We had a little general service meetings in Bill Beck's shop. And then we took it to Narcotic Prevention Project, or we took it into East LA, and we had some meetings there. And I was chairman. I got to be chairman of General Service, and that was kind of cool. I lasted at that for about a year until it was time to reelect somebody else. And I did everything that there is to do in Narcotics Anonymous. And as Norman said, I was on the board of trustees with Chuck Skinner and several people, and it was a good stint. It was a lot of fun. It was nerve-wracking. One of the things I promised myself I'd never be again was a general GSR, because that's too much noise, man. I don't do drama too well, and so I my home group, which I still go to a meeting a week, and then now the Zoom, I've been to sometimes three or four meetings a day, but I'm the greeter, and I sit at the door, and when people walk in the door, I welcome them to the meeting and introduce them to people, especially if they're new to other people. I love being of service. I've been of service my whole life, and in fact, in 1971, just about the turn of the year, 1971, I went up to Bob. I said, "Bob, I'd like to have a world convention." He says, "Mel, where are you going to have that?" And I says, "Well, I don't know. Anaheim Convention Center, LA Convention Center." He laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. I said, "What are you laughing at?" He says, "Well, first of all, where are you going to get that kind of money? And second of all, where are you going to find that many people?" As I thought about it, I realized he was correct. So we still met, though. Norm was part of it. Several other people were part of it. They're no longer around today. And we managed to do it. And Norm was in charge of finding us a place. He got the La Mirada Country Club. I found out in 2003 at the 50th anniversary celebration convention that we had in San Diego that place was given to us for free. And that was because the owner of the golf course, his son was in deep doo-doo, and he wanted to see what we were doing to see if we could encourage his son. And as Norm said, we've been around to a lot of places. We've gone to a lot of places. Now, we call ourselves now the Odd Couple, because he didn't like the way I was driving for a while. I went from a big car, which he likes big cars, to a little Fiat, and that scared him, because I'm always paying attention to people who they're on their phones and driving, and I think, man, I'm defensive, not offensive anymore. I'm defensive because I don't want to get my little Fiat squished. So because my brake would be hit often, he says, "Man, you make me nervous." So I says, "Okay, so I'll just drive myself." And yet, just not but a year, less than a year ago, he decided to go with me, and I just drove like a little old man, and he was fine that I didn't get him killed. But let's go to history here. I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of people all over the place. I've been invited to history conferences in Nashville. I've been in Connecticut. I met a really great guy in Connecticut. I've enjoyed. He wants to bring me out to spend a week with him and his son. I sponsor a guy out of Nashville. I sponsor several people, quite a few people. But when I was new, I couldn't sponsor people because I didn't work all the steps. I had to get myself in a hurt situation before I could sit down and work the steps. And once I did that, I found relief. And once I actually worked the steps, I started to feel like a real human being and a part of this program. Before that, it was just, I don't know, I was just going to meetings, and I didn't want to use anymore. But from the day I walked out of that place to this present day, I have never had any more stuff put into my system to change my thinking in any way, shape, or form. Getting old changes my thinking. Sometimes I have like little brain farts, pardon the expression, but I forget things pretty quickly. But then I bring myself back to reality. But looking at the totality of going to these different places and meeting different people, I look around the rooms. I was in Michigan to a MRCNA convention, and I look around the rooms and I see these new people starting for information. And as they start for information, my heart goes out to them, because when I was new, I was starving, but I didn't realize how much I was starving. And then I realized that the most important thing about sharing in meetings is not to share about your dog and your cat and your kids and your wife and your job. You know, if you want to whine, go to Whiners Anonymous. But if you want to talk about recovery and share the hope with the newcomers, start talking of recovery. Talk about what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like today. Put the phones away. Those meetings today, everybody's wanting to be on their phone. We didn't have beepers back in the days I got here. And now today it's more of it's another challenge. But I say to people that have been here for a long time, don't just tell the newcomer to go to a lot of meetings, buy the basic text, get some phone numbers. If that's all you're telling them, then you're not really siding with them. So many times we go to meetings and we sit and talk with our friends and we see a new person walk in and we don't go up to them. So that newcomer is sitting there feeling kind of lonely and out of place. I say to us old timers that have been here for a while, get off your duff and get up and greet that new person, make him feel at home, make her feel at home, give them the hope that was given to us. Some of us would have never stayed here if we didn't have the hope given to us, spoon-fed us. Jimmy was a person that loved Narcotics Anonymous. There are several people that were influencing me throughout my entire time of being clean. They still influence me, even though they're not alive. They told me to do the same things. Gene Haig would corner a newcomer and just chew on their ear until they couldn't stand it anymore, but at least he spoon-fed what this NA program was all about. Jimmy did the same kinds of things as well. And we did it in a kind fashion. Bob was the same way. He loved to talk to newcomers. That was a thrill for him. And Ed Mentor, he got away from us for a while, but then he came back. But Ed was on the board of trustees with me. And recently, I guess a few years ago, he passed on. Boy, I miss that guy. What a great guy. But he had a hard time, too, with language. And I cornered him one day. We were in San Jose, and we were doing a history conference up there in San Jose. And he found God in a different fashion like me. And he was going to church and doing that. But he'd say God in one phrase, and then he'd use the F-bomb in the next phrase. And I looked at him and said, man, you're not doing it right. You got to knock off the language. You're distorting it and not giving people what they'll listen to. You're turning people's ears off. Norm used to jump on me when I used to use bad language. And I remember Eddie saying the same things. Use the stuff in the dictionary. Don't use the stuff that's not in the dictionary, because people will just quit listening to you. And if you have something good to say, they're not going to hear it. So I'm a fond believer of just having a clear message. And that's why I don't get invited to a lot of conventions, because I'm not funny. Well, I might be funny looking, but I'm not funny. And I don't tell jokes. I don't dictate to people. I don't yell and shout and scream and holler. And I definitely don't swear. So sometimes I'd be kind of boring to some people. And if that's the case, it's okay. I'm just here to stay clean and show people that I can stay clean and you can stay clean too. There's no doubt in my mind that there's not anybody throughout the world. In fact, I'm talking crazy. Maybe I've had too much coffee this morning. But as I thumb through the list of people that are here in this Zoom meeting now, there's close to 1,000 people. I look around, looking around and seeing people from all over the world tuning in to this thing and going to listen to some great speakers today. Jimmy's dream was to watch this thing grow. I remember sitting with him in his kitchen, and we were licking envelopes and sending out starter kits, but he was running out of money. And he didn't have the money for postage, but he had the heart to get this stuff out. And when I first got out, even though I wasn't supposed to associate with other addicts, I ran into with Eddie into a judge's courtroom after hours, and we sat down. He had this school called the Alcohol School, and he talked about this Alcohol School, and people were going to come in. They're going to hear some messages. They're going to hear people pitch, and then they're going to give them a court card and send them on their way, and they get these cards signed, and if they go to enough meetings and get them signed, they don't have to go to prison. And so I kind of raised my hand and I said, "Hey, Judge," Leon Emerson was his name. He passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. What a great guy. He loved recovery. He loved what this program was all about. In fact, he was on the board of trustees with us as a non-addict board member for a while. But I raised my hand and said, "Leon, alcohol is the oldest known drug, and drugs are a substitute for alcohol. Why doesn't the addict have the same privilege?" And he smacks his forehead and he says, "Oh, man, I didn't even think like that." So he says, "I'm changing the name from alcohol school to DANA, Drug, Alcohol, Narcotic Awareness." And the addict then got the chance to go to meetings, even though they might have been resentful. In fact, I say that lightly when I go to speak someplace and I said, "Look, if you're here on a court card, don't stab me after the meeting. You might just want to say, hey, thanks a lot. That saved me from detention and maybe gave me a chance to find a new way of living." And that's what this thing is all about. So we did all these things, and I loved taking the long rides with Norman. Norman was, I have to say this though about Norman. I met him 3 weeks out of the penitentiary, and I couldn't get to a meeting in the valley. Back then, gasoline was about 25 cents a gallon. Gosh, that was a lot of money. And to travel an hour on the freeway to get to a meeting, I decided to go someplace. And I hesitated to do that because, first of all, I was going to go to the other program. And secondly, I had a business in Whittier, and I didn't want to run into any of my customers. That was stupid, but that's the way I felt. So I walked into this meeting, and there's a guy there that Jack, can't remember his last name. He introduced me to Norman, and because he knew that Norm was a drug addict and I was a drug addict, and then he asked Norman to read, I think it was 12 steps or 12 traditions, and Norman got up at the microphone and he says, "My name is N-N-N-N-N-N-N." And I just developed a friendship with him immediately. I said, "I like that guy." Got his phone number, and we talked every day for just the longest time, and we still talk at least 3 or 4 times a week. That's a true friend. He's been my best friend for over 51 years, and we've gone through things. I've told him things that I probably have never told my sponsor. I've told him things I've probably never told another human being. And he's done the same with me, and my cats are driving me crazy. And that's what it's all about, to share your heart with somebody, to share your openness, to not be afraid to tell your secrets. As Norman said, don't be afraid to tell your secrets, because if you keep them, you're going to die with them, and you're going to really feel uncomfortable. The freedom that I have gotten from this is to tell my secrets and not have to relive that again. My favorite saying today is, I don't want my past to become my future. If I've learned anything in this program, I don't have to relive anything I've ever done that was negative. But I can relive the positive things I've done and the encouragement that I've given others and the encouragement that I've received. There's another name that keeps creeping up to me is a Don Zeiler. Somebody talked about him in a Zoom meeting in San Diego, and I had forgotten about Don, and Don moved down towards San Diego, and we hit it off pretty good at the Manhattan Beach meeting. And as we did, I used to go visit Don. In fact, he and I used to send tapes to one another, and that was kind of cool. He'd send me a cassette tape, and I'd listen to him for 45 minutes, and I'd turn around 45 minutes and give him something to listen to. And that's how we communicated until I started to take the rides down to visit him face to face, him and his wife. And that was good. You know, I've developed, again, some really great relationships with people in this program. And I am so grateful for that. I don't know how to... shoot. No, get rid of him. I really enjoy the fact that I can go places and do things and be with people, and I can look them in the eye, and I don't have to lie, because you have to remember your secrets when you lie, And now I don't have to remember anything. And because if I tell the truth, it's not a big deal. I can just say what's on my heart as long as it's truthful and it's okay. I don't know how to express it, how much I love Narcotics Anonymous, because I'm hoping that there's some new people that are around the world that are listening in today. If you could only love Narcotics Anonymous a tenth of the way I do, you'll never use again, and you'll find yourself a place that you really belong. You'll find some enjoyment and peace of mind, and you'll find contentment, and you'll find your wildest dreams can come true. I had no idea that I was going to live to be 76. I'm not going to talk about being 77 yet because I'm not close to it. Nor am I going to talk about being 52 years clean because I'm not even close to it. I might be 51 and a half years, but that's it. I'll live with that. I remember talking to another guy when I told him that Eddie told me to hand back my 9-month chip, and he had a little. I'm not going to give up a name, but he claims his time inside. And when I told him that story, he says, "Man, you ought to have gotten a new sponsor." That was as quick as he could remark. And if he did, I would be talking about December the 14th of 1967. Well, why do I have to be concerned about that? I'm happy with what I have, and I don't want to ever change it. If there's somebody new in here today, take the date that you have today. If you're a retread, if you've had to go back out there and play that game, carve that date that you have today in stone and never change it. If you carve it in stone, it's difficult to change, and that means you'd be hanging in there and doing what we do. If you like what we have, just do what we do. You're going to have it too. I don't know. I'm not going to go on any further with this. It's just a pleasure to be with all of you. I guess Norman would want me to say one more thing. He reminded me that I had meetings here at my house for about 15 years. I had a little Thursday night meeting. It was a little step study meeting. And it was during a time that just before we bombed Iraq and all that stuff, I had maybe 25 to 40 people sit down in a front room on the floor on chairs, if we had chairs available, with the fireplace on a cold day, and we'd gather for 2 hours and we'd share the 12 steps and we worked through them. Every meeting that we went to, I had a little otter that came out and bit people once in a while. I also had a little cocker spaniel that came out one time from another room with a Tootsie Roll in his mouth, and I knew it wasn't a Tootsie Roll because I don't like candy that much, and I realized it was a cat thing that he had in her mouth, and that embarrassed me, but I don't know why I'm sharing that with you. But it's this is just the having a meeting at my home and welcoming people into my home and people having enough trust for me to show up in my home. And we sit down and we just go through those steps and watch the lives change. And one guy in particular said, when you're going through some kind of drama, it takes two people to create the drama. If one person doesn't want to play the game, then the game's no fun. He says, somebody can come up and say, "You're really a crap head." And you just smile and walk away from it. And then he'd say it to you again. And you don't come back with the response saying, "Well, what about you?" You just don't say anything. You smile and walk away from it. Sooner or later, he quits talking to you like that. And that means it takes two people to play the game. If only one person plays, it's not any fun anymore. So I've learned to keep my mouth shut and try to avoid a controversy. Norman would say he doesn't like to be in drama of any kind. And that's just what it's all about. I don't like to be in drama either. I just love being clean. In fact, during that time that we only had five meetings in the world, I remember somebody says, "Well, if you don't like what's going on, start your own meeting." So I did. I started a meeting in La Mirada, which blossomed into four more meetings of it, Fires Under Other People, and they started meetings, and then we had our own area. Okay, thank you. And and that's how the meetings got going. All of a sudden, it got to be areas. Our Narcotics Anonymous was just Narcotics Anonymous. Then they started saying, well, we have Eastern Counties. Eastern Counties, what's that? Well, that's where you started your meetings, Eastern Counties. And then we have the Valley, and then we have the Bay Cities, and we have this, and we have that. And all of a sudden, it's just Jimmy would be turning over in his grave in a joyful way, clapping and jumping, saying, look what we've done. His dream was to watch Narcotics Anonymous go totally wild. And I remember at that 2003 convention, they had me at the platform with Jack. Jack led the meeting, and several other people were up there. Some people are, one person other than Jack and myself are still alive, Don. And then but a lot of people passed on. And I was nervous about this because the first convention we had 250 people show up, 185 paid, and the rest were freebies out of the recovery houses. But at this convention in 2003, I sat in front of 25,000 people that could afford to show up. And I was full of tears with joy, because if Jimmy could only see this, he would just be, yeah, look what we've done. And you know what? My hat's off to everybody out of this country. The United States has a lot of people in it. When I think about Iran, there's tons of meeting in Iran. There's tons of meetings all over the world. And I want you to, I'm talking my history and what I've done in this program. But on the other hand, you create your own history. I'm going to die one of these days. You're going to get your opportunity to share this history with other people. Give away what you've learned. Give away from people you've heard from. Create your own history. Don't stop taking in what it's all about. If you stop taking it in, you're not going to be able to give it back out. People need to know this is a recovery program, and we can recover. Thanks for letting me share.